If any of you have ever had the opportunity to help plan a funeral mass, you know that there are lots of options that you can pick for the readings for that mass. Well, all of those readings are available for us at this mass today. And so I think we chose the same readings that are in the Magnificat, for any of you who are following along. But just that variety of readings just helps us to put ourselves in the mind of the church as people of prayer in a variety of ways, praying for those souls who have gone before us. And just what a beautiful image that is of that Psalm 23, the one we're all so familiar with, the Lord is my shepherd. I know that I shall dwell with him all the days of my life. This is the will of the Father, that I shouldn't lose anyone that he has given me, but that they shall be raised on the last day. Hope does not disappoint. But beautiful readings Mother Church puts before us, and there are so many others that evoke these same notions, that we should be a people of hope. And these 3 days are these 3 days of celebration of hope. As we hear so often and repeat time and time again, that hope is a confident expectation that the promises will be fulfilled. What Pope Benedict wrote in his document on hope, the one who has hope lives differently. That's what we had yesterday in the Beatitudes, this great paradox of the life of a disciple that contradicts the way of the world, but we live differently with that confident expectation that the promises will be fulfilled. And so it's with that hope and that expectation that we gather in particularly on this Mass, on this day, November 2nd. The commemoration of all the faithful departed is the official name. As we remember the souls of the faithful departed, those who died in friendship with God. And we know with all the choices of readings, there are even more that can help us understand more completely, more fully, the church's teaching on purgatory and why it's necessary that we are here today. But Revelation tells us that nothing unclean gets into heaven. Nothing. And so what we know about mortal sin is that it separates us completely. We lose the love that unites us to God, and so we're separated. And you know, we know, matter of fact, that if we die in that condition, then we live perpetually in that condition. That the moment for choice is over when our earthly life is ended. And so for those of us and our loved ones and all those who've come before us who have died in friendship with God, but in some way not perfectly united to him, with some attachment to venial sin, attachment to this earth, or some temporal punishment not yet satisfied. Purgatory is that state, that experience, which God's mercy and his justice allows us to be purified. The official teaching on purgatory is very limited. It exists, and those who are there will be in heaven fully at one point. That's really all the church officially teaches. We can glean from the scriptures and from the tradition different aspects of it, but we must believe that it exists. And what some of the church fathers and the spiritual writers would tell us, that even if it didn't exist, that we would invent it. It just makes sense. You know, we live in a casual culture now. We don't really get dressed up for many things, but many of us can remember the time when we would dress up for the important events in our life, that we wouldn't be caught unprepared and not dressed well if we were going to go meet a dignitary or go on a first date or meet my boyfriend or girlfriend's parents. If company was coming over, we would scurry to clean the house to have a good presentation. There's just something natural about wanting to be presented well. So that's in the physical sense, but it's so much more so in the spiritual sense. And again, what the spiritual fathers tell us is that purgatory is not so much a punishment given to us, but it's an expectation for ourselves that we know that we need it. We know we need to experience this purification. Where St. Paul tells us in Corinthians that those of us who build our lives on the foundation of Jesus, at the end of our lives, our works will be burned up. And so whether they're gold or silver or wood or straw, and the good works that remain will be our way into heaven. Jesus says, if someone has something against you, go and make peace with them. If not, they'll be turned over to the judge and you'll be put into prison and not released until you paid the last penny. In Maccabees in the Old Testament, as this family called the Maccabees sought to protect the Holy Land, and there was a great battle and many of them lost their lives, those who remained went through the killing field and prayed for those who had died. And that letter tells us it's a holy and wholesome thing to pray for the souls of the dead. And so it's a holy and wholesome thing that you are here this morning, commending the souls of the faithful departed, not simply to the justice, but more importantly, to the mercy of God. Trusting that in His mercy, that when they and when we face that final judgment, that we will be looked upon with mercy and with favor. So those of us who remain, we pray to live as though the Lord truly is my shepherd, that there is nothing else I shall want. Because we have seen the Son, and the Son has shown us the Father, and the Father desires that none of us be lost. And so by God's grace, we pray for ourselves and for the faithful departed, that on that last day, we will be raised to eternal life.